So I thought I'd start. I thought I'd start off this show a little bit unconventionally and get this one thing out of the way. Welcome to Foul Territory. I'm at John Sumple. He's at Jed Rigney. See, I can do it.
This is the worst beginning of the show ever.
Feels so good.
So I can't make fun of you? I guess we'll take that off the list of things.
It's no longer a bit.
It's off the rundown for the day. Okay, good. So let me take this off. Don't make fun of John for messing up the title and names. Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Hey, so you saw U2 this weekend.
I did. It was amazing. Very, very incredible show. If you have a chance, anybody who's out there, U2's coming to your town.
Yes, they're a famous rock and roll band for those baseball fans out there who don't know.
Who haven't, you know, come out of their basements and fantasy numbers.
Hey, don't do that.
There are a few of those out there.
No, they're not.
There are some basement dwellers.
No, there's just people who like baseball, who like sports, who don't like the rock and roll. They like country music, or they like classical or opera.
So you're saying that there aren't baseball geeks, stat geeks?
I think, you know, it's funny. Some of the stat geeks I know are like into a lot of rap. It's very strange. So this U2 show, I think saw you post something. Did it have a big Joshua Tree? Were they doing like a Joshua Tree thing?
Yes, that is the tour. It's the 30th anniversary of the Joshua Tree, and they are playing the album in its entirety in sequence during the show.
Are they playing it like live, or is it just they press play on the MP3 player and then
and they go and take a nap?
They wheel around in their wheelchairs.
It's a great show. This is the ninth time I've seen them, and every time the last three shows in particular, I've been like, "There's no way they can one up that one," and they did again. The stage show is spectacular. The screen projection screen is as wide as a football field and probably 40-50 feet tall. It's a pretty special show. So if you're a fan, go check.
I've actually seen them a couple of times. It is quite an exceptional. I haven't seen them recently because I haven't seen like a big concert in a long time. I guess I became that guy. Like, the band becomes famous. I'm like, I like the early stuff. I'm that guy.
Well, I've got one for you, though. The first time I saw U2 was for their October tour, which is their second album. And they opened up for the Jay Giles Band.
Whoa.
I didn't even know who they were.
You don't ruin the story by saying that, John.
So I did know of them about a week or two before the show because one of my fraternity brothers started talking about them, saying like, oh, you got to listen to this band. They're really good. And they just happened to be open for Jay Giles. So I was like, oh, cool.
Let's
check them out. And they were awesome.
I don't know why you have to keep ruining the story with mentioning the Jay Giles Band.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Did Jay Giles Band concert, and I've probably seen 200 concerts in my life, still top two or three shows I've ever seen.
See, John, I don't know why you need to ruin this podcast now by saying the Jay Giles Band is top two concert you've ever seen. Let's move on to something else. Speaking of people moving around in wheelchairs, Derek Jeter got his number retired.
He did. And it was a big event, and it was supposed to be before the first game on Sunday night, but they had a rain out on Saturday, and they had to do a doubleheader thing, and I didn't get a chance to see it because I was at said U2 concert. So did you get a chance to watch it?
I watched it, but not actually with my eyes.
It was on in the background?
No, you know what I did was I just sort of followed along on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know how people do that nowadays, where it's like something's happening, you just sort of follow along? Like, I don't really want to watch it, like... I don't want to see Derek Jeter roll himself out and, you know, whatever, get his number. Who cares? Yankees, like, hey, there's no more single digits left. Great. Nope. All right. Who cares? I'm sure, look, for Yankees fans, I'm sure it's great or at least adequate, right? But really, number retiring, that's not a very modern thing to do. I want something else. I want there to be a more modern way to memorialize great players. I'm not sure what it is yet.
Dip them in bronze while they're still alive?
You know what? Something like that? Look, I'm not saying you want to do necessarily, like, because, you know, they have, for porn stars, they have, like, you can get, like, a
cast.
A mold of their appendage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we want that for Derek Jeter, specifically.
But maybe we could freeze them in carbon, like Han Solo.
No! Carbonite, first of all. Not and to get all actually on you, but...
And then you could, you know, can defrost him later on and he could.
No, but see, there's got to be some more modern way than just retiring his number. First of all, do we even, we had this conversation like 2 weeks ago. Like, do we remember players by their numbers? No. Who cares? That's why this whole Jackie Robinson thing is just weird. I'm like, hey, 42 is retired everywhere. Okay.
But
what about some other
way? Iconic numbers, though. Babe Ruth, 3.
There's no iconic. No
Joe
one cares.
Joe DiMaggio, 5.
No one cares. Look, by the time, Lou Gehrig, in 10 years, everyone that remembers any of the numbers will have dementia. Okay? I'm talking about the young people. How do you make it for the young people? I don't know. But it's an important part of baseball is the history of baseball. So I'm, I'm as we're talking, I'm like spinning my the hamster in my brain is spinning as fast as it can, trying to come up like, what's the solution? What's the way to memorialize them in a real way that, I mean, besides bobbleheads, okay?
Yeah, bobbleheads. I don't
besides
get
that. Bobbleheads.
I really don't get that.
Anyway, there's a way, and I don't think it's statues because I don't think statues are very modern either. Like. I don't think that's how people remember stuff. Anyway, there's a way, and I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to solve
holograms.
It. You know what? That might be more what we're talking about here. Can you imagine, John, if you went to a baseball stadium? In your case, Safeco Field. In my case, Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, and they had a hologram game going on with Derek Jeter at short, and a Babe Ruth in right field.
That would be awesome.
Now that's what we're talking about here. Yeah. MLB Advanced Media, feel free to contact me. It's at
Jim. And they could do that. I mean, they do it in video games all the time, but that would be
awesome. Look, if they can bring Tupac back.
Stratomatic. Make Stratomatic real. Bring it to life. That would be awesome. So I just dated myself with that. Stratomatic was a card game.
That's all right.
That was the first fantasy baseball game, I believe, back in the 70s, 60s, and
70s. Yeah, it was like Dungeons and Dragons,
right,
but for baseball
nerds. Players. Yeah, yeah.
Players, okay. Nerds, John.
Nerds. Players. You know, players playing the game of Stratomatic.
Yes, okay. That's but not players of baseball.
Yeah, they wouldn't spend the time. No.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure.
They might play Madden, NFL.
That's
right. Probably not going to play. I can see football players playing Madden, but I could never see a baseball player playing their own sport for whatever reason.
You wonder how much younger I am than you. It took me 2 weeks to figure out how to punt on Madden.
I think it took me longer.
Oh, did it? Maybe that does that does
my
it make
son,
me older or younger? I don't know.
My son had it, and he used to destroy me in it.
Yeah.
Until one weekend, I got sick and tired of getting beat up because I hate to lose. That while he was away, I mean, probably 46 out of 48 hours playing Madden straight, so that the next time he played, I beat him. And he was like stunned, and he was all of maybe 10.
Yeah.
10 years old.
That's a star high goal, John.
It was. I felt
congratulations.
That's a high watermark for me in video games. And I don't have to worry about it. He will probably not, has not listened to, nor will he listen to one of these. So he doesn't know my secrets.
Oh, he's too cool for school. I get it.
Yeah.
That's all right. I don't want family listening to this stuff.
Yeah, because we talk about him so much.
Yes, exactly. Hey, is there anything else happening besides Jeter?
Jeter in Monument Park now. Let's see. Nationals. That was pretty big news. I kind of saw that as a runner under the screen that he signed an extension but a one-year contract agreement that basically boosted him up to a cool $21.625 million.
Right, which is a lot of money and sets the record for the last year of arbitration, right?
Right, and they got that out of the way early.
But here's the thing. That's the real question is, why did they do it?
Well, they're trying to show them that we want you.
Right. But here's the thing. Mathematically, like, why sign him to it? Because
that's true, because they're going to – there's unless they're willing to pony
up $40 million out that money.
Right. That's true. That's true.
If he plays the rest of the year, they pay him exactly that amount of money.
Right.
But what they're trying to do is make him think that he shouldn't leave.
Right.
It's a big gamble. It's a big gamble, but they have Victor Robles in the minors, and they have Juan Soto in the minors, and they're 1 and 2 years away from the majors, respectively. I think they're hoping that they can keep him. I mean, Worth's money comes off the books at the end of the year, right? And, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, he's going to be a Yankee. If they make it to the World Series this year, like, he could just stay with the Nationals. No, I'm just kidding. He's going to wind
up. Not going to happen.
He's just going to wind up. Someone's going to give him $40 million a year, and he's going to go there.
Because the big thing with that is that, let's say they win the World Series this year.
Right.
The incentive won't be to win another World Series with the Nationals. It will be, imagine winning a World Series with the storied Yankees. That's your goal.
Right. Wait, where is he from?
Las Vegas, I believe.
Oh, so more like a Southern California team.
Oh, maybe like the
How
Dodgers.
Crazy would it be if, no, hear me out on this.
The Padres?
The Angels.
Oh, the Angels. Trout and Harper?
Trout and Harper. Oh, my God. I don't think he'll do it. I don't think he'll want to be on the same team as Trout.
Yeah, I was confused for a second because I was thinking San Diego.
Please.
Like, really?
I know. You know what? I think he actually might be from San Diego.
I'm thinking of Strasburg.
Strasburg's from San Diego.
Yeah, but it is strange because you're the only move there really is to show him faith that they want him.
Yeah, and players don't care about that. He's going to do whatever he's going to do at the end of next year. And the question will be is will they trade him mid-season next year? Right.
And that's a valuable – that's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
I mean, the wheels have to Why fall not? Off the cart, right? Like, Scherzer has to get injured. Strasburg's injured.
See, but the way I would look at that, though, is that even if I was in contention, I might sit there and say, hey, fan base, we have no chance of keeping him.
Not if you're in contention.
Yeah. Well, God.
You let him go at the end and you get the free agent, right, the draft pick compensation.
Right.
You have to. If you're in contention –
I don't know. It's a tough one. I'd be thinking about the long term. Can you imagine if you were able to trade him and get three or four minor leaguers for him?
What if you could win a World Series, though? Like, he's the difference.
Here's what I'm thinking, though, is that they win it this year.
Oh, if they win this year. I think if they win this year, I think they won't re-sign him. Mm-hmm. I think they'll drop an Albert Pujols on him like the Cardinals
and just dump him right there.
And look, it's not just an excuse for me to use the word Pujols again because.
No, that's true. If they do win, he becomes a trade chip next year.
Or at least just sort of like let him finish out his contract and we respectfully let him go and get as much money as he can from the Dodgers or
That'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees team, I was just reading today that they're talking about they're not going to trade any of their prospects. Aren't they? Any, right? They still had a couple lower-level guys, but they have some guys coming, man. Whew.
Yeah, that's – I mean, this
they're
is kind
stacked.
Of – This is playing right into their hands, the timing of this. And I don't know if I want to call Brian Cashman a genius quite yet because he looked like a buffoon for the last seven, 8 years with some of the deals that they did. Yes. But it's looking pretty smart. And I don't know if I would give the credit to Cashman as much as I would give it to Steinbrenner because he's the one who's reined in the budget.
I would say it's Cashman. Yeah. I mean, I would say it's a team effort or whatever, and probably Randy Levine.
Yeah.
For a long time, people have said, like, is Cashman any good? Would he be good on another team? Who knows what the deal is? But I think this is mostly him. I think this is him, you know, sticking to his guns and getting great players back, you know, and, like, getting good players for cheap and then turning them around. And then some of it's dumb luck, though, right? Because, like, Aaron Judge was supposed to be a bomb. He was supposed to not be able to – he was supposed to just keep striking out. And all of a sudden, he goes to the majors where there's better pitching, and he gets less strikeouts.
Right. He's more selective because, you know, it's the pros.
Yeah. So I don't know. But, you know, it happens sometimes. A guy raises his game when he goes to the higher level. So Francisco Lindor, great example. Everyone thought he was a slick fielding Omar Vizquel type.
Right.
Now he's one of the best hitters in the American League. So.
And the best smile.
He's great.
He's awesome.
What else we got?
Let's see. I don't know anything about this. I didn't hear about it, so you can fill me in on the details. Johnny Cueto, Yasmani Grandal involved in a sign-stealing, bench-clearing brawl?
Right, so it looks like today, or yesterday, or whatever, on Wednesday, the Dodgers, Kershaw's pitching, it's whatever, it's a 6-0 game, or it was 3-0 at the time. Anyway, so Cueto apparently thought that Yasmani Grandal was stealing signs and signaling from second base to help other hitters and stuff.
Like that never happens in baseball.
And so then Cueto threw at him in his next at bat, right? As you do. And then the next time Cueto came up to bat, Grandal was like, let's not make this a big deal. Let's just be cool. And they were both kind of cool. And then everyone's sort of being friendly. And it actually, when he threw at Grandal, it actually cleared the benches. And they were like, "Ooh, I'm front," you know, because it's Dodgers, Giants. Right. You know, and the Giants are terrible right now, and Dodgers are on top. Kershaw's shutting him down, the Giants get a little tense. Dodgers lost a couple games early in the week to this terrible team, so they're a little tense. Anyway, so Johnny Cueto, who's not really like part of the Giants Dodgers rivalry, he's just been on the team for a little over a year, he decides he's going to take matters into his own hands. And then, like, next time he comes up to the plate, they kind of apologize to each other. Though Cueto, after the game, is like, oh, yeah, but he was stealing signs.
So did they shake hands or something in the middle of the game?
Yeah, no, apparently they were like, hey, you know, it's cool. Tip the cap. Yeah, sort of that sort of thing. They actually had a little conversation at home plate. And then, but the final comment was from Kratos. He's like, yeah, but he was stealing signs. Like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's baseball, right, Johnny? All right.
It just reminds me.
All right, Balker. All right, illegal pitching move.
Going back to the, I think it was the early 70s. I don't remember the details of it, but do you remember Burt Campanaris, at least the name, shortstop for the A's?
I do remember that name, but only from old-timey
So he is famous for being thrown at and retaliating by throwing his bat back at the pitcher.
Nice.
So his whole thing, his explanation there is like, well, they're throwing 90 miles an hour at my head. Why can't I throw something back at them? Of course, he got, kicked out of the game and fined.
There's some logic to that. I mean, in a sort of action reaction physics sort of sense, but not an actual.
If baseball was physics, it would make a lot of sense, but we're not physics. As you were talking about that, you know, it's like there's the gentleman's way of approaching it or the aggressive thug way. Yeah. And I think Burt Campanaris weighed 140 pounds soaking wet. So
he probably couldn't throw the bat that hard anyway.
No.
Well, one thing about Cueto, though, you know, is he's a quick pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, once or twice, some team gets their panties in a knot because he's
constantly changing his motion.
Yeah. And he is doing, if you watch it, it is an illegal move.
It is, because that's part of it, is that you have to be a consistent delivery to the plate, and he doesn't do that.
Yeah. But look, when a runner's on second base, the catcher uses different signs for the pitcher. Right. Why? Because the runner on second base is going to steal the sign otherwise. Right. Hello, it's baseball.
So did they, you know, like they just tipped caps and said, good day, sir. And
I think
they were
sort of like that. Yeah.
Yes. That was nice. That's really nice.
But then after the game it was a little like, but anyway.
So let's talk a little bit about the failing Mariners and their four of their five starters, I think, are now on the DL.
Yeah. Iwakuma joins King Felix, Drew Smyly, James Paxton on the disabled list. The only starting pitcher from opening day, Giovanni Gallardo.
The ace of the staff.
Like, look, if you were going to have one survivor from those five.
No one picked that.
No one picked that.
Jerry DePoto said that you always plan for contingencies, but you can never plan for losing four of your five.
I mean, I think they've been one of the worst.
Snake, and Cano just went on the DL.
Who's that?
Robinson Cano went on the DL.
Yes, Cano just went on the DL, yeah. And I think they've been hit the hardest. Like, I know, like, the Dodgers are using the new disabled list to sort of, like, rest a guy.
None of these are
10-day
guys.
Yeah, none of these guys. Though Paxton's supposed to be coming back soon, so that's exciting. And he's the best pitcher of all of them. So
and Haniger was a big loss, and he's been gone for three and a half weeks. And
yeah, that was a real shame. He was turning into a star. And you just hope he comes back and he can pick up where he left off. It doesn't turn into one of those things like...
Flash.
Who was it? Leonis Martin, remember last year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, power and speed and great defense. And then he got injured and came back and was just garbage again. Like, whatever it was that he was doing, maybe his steroids wore off and then he got injured and he couldn't take more steroids.
Well, it was like Franklin Gutierrez, too. He was really good until he got hurt. And then it took him a year to get back up to speed and then he get hurt.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was fantastic, outstanding center fielder, super fast, had power. And in that ballpark too, he was a gap hitter, and so he was outstanding. But it seemed like every year and a half he'd get hurt to the point where he was gone for half a season, and it took him a while to get rolling again. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Mariners team, I think, and I mean, I don't think they have a chance to win the division. I think that the Astros are going to run away with it. But this is a good team, and they're not, even with all these injuries, they're not that far out.
No. No, it's
but they gotta get healthy.
Yeah,
like they gotta get healthy.
And the big question mark is Felix. Is his shoulder? I mean, he pitched up until last season. He had pitched 30 plus games for 9 straight years. So he's on the decline. That's for sure.
But if he can you know sort of reinvent himself as a sort of a right-handed junk ball pitcher,
right.
like a number three starter,
Maddox. Yeah,
like a Bartolo Colon, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like Bartolo Colon used to throw 96 miles an hour. Now he only throws 86 miles an hour. It's just the same pitch in different locations, 86 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and he's effective.
Right.
Effective. I don't want to say he's good, but he's effective.
Yeah, he's 40, what, four, five,
yeah,
something like that.
Hit a home run last year. Come on.
I know. That's worth the price of admission, that game. They still play that every once in a while, and I still laugh my ass off because it's hysterical. The entire team goes into the clubhouse as he enters the dugout. He's all by himself. That was classic. Okay, let's move on. Let's see. Chris Sale, seventh consecutive start with at least 10 strikeouts. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And is he above 500 yet? Because the Red Sox haven't been scoring runs when he pitches. And
no, they've been scoring runs ever since you complained about it, John.
2 weeks ago, so now they're scoring for him?
Yeah, they scored, I think, 7 and 6
That's
runs.
That's good. Because I think his first three starts, they scored 2 runs or less.
Yeah, but the team had the flu. Like, basically,
right,
all their good hitters had the flu. So this is why, like, the Red Sox are in third place. They're, like, 2 or 3 games back because they just had an awful April because of this flu that took everyone out. But, yeah, I mean, Chris Sale has been the best pitcher in baseball. I think he gave up, was the last start, he gave up 2 hits. They were both home runs to left-handed hitters, which normally left-handed starting pitchers don't do.
Right.
Other than that, just masterful pitching. It's really, I mean, to me as a Red Sox fan, it's great to watch that because we haven't seen that since Pedro. And of course, you know, 7 consecutive starts with at least 10 strikeouts. The last guy to do that before Chris Sale was Pedro. So, I mean, just it's great to see that again. And then to have David Price coming back and Porcello's ERA is down to
4.5.
4. I told
wow.
you. Didn't I tell you he's going to get down to 4? This is Porcello's what he does. Has some
strikes
crappy games, has some
10,
great games, strikes out 8.
6 runs, still wins.
But he also has shutouts or 1-run games, and that balances out the big run games.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's how he does it.
Well, he's dependent on the offense. So if they're scoring runs, he's winning games.
Well, I'm not even talking about the wins, John. Look, when he allows just 1 run, John, that's him allowing 1 run. You have to let this man have it. This is a Cy Young Award winner. Sorry. It's funny. It's like calling Donald Trump president. It's like, it just doesn't quite match. Like, it's President Donald Trump. It's Cy Young Award winner Rick Porcello. All right, maybe it's not the same thing, but it's very similar to me.
I think Porcello would be a little upset with that comparison. But
well, you know what, sir? I root for him always.
Hey, he's got a Cy Young. He's got the hardware on his shelf.
Yeah, exactly. Rick, he can cry himself to sleep on his giant money pillow.
Right, and you know, Red Sox fans 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, were scratching their head. Why did we pay this much for this guy?
Right,
that's
and
why.
They signed him too, like at the beginning of the season, and it was like, why did? And it was Harrington, right? Wasn't it? Charrington.
Charrington. And it was like, yeah. And I remember
it
at
was
the time,
Garrington.
Like he hadn't done anything to warrant that.
Yeah, it was a little dubious.
Yeah, was it?
If they had waited a year, they could have got him for less for as many years. But I don't know if they would have because he was so bad that year.
Genius move.
Right?
It was.
3D chess, bringing it back to Trump.
Yeah.
3D chess move. We'll sign him for more than he's worth, and we'll make him become a Cy Young Award winner.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
He'll be great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He has
ever.
The best fastballs.
The very
Bigly.
Bigly fastball. Okay, how about Jerry's Familia, and that kind of came out of nowhere with the surgery he just had for blood clot. He's probably, most likely, gone for the rest of the season. Went
yes.
from, like, a little bit of soreness under his shoulder, and then boom, he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, weekly installment of As the Mets Turn, here we go. Their closer, who was
That's
out
right.
for 2 weeks because of his domestic violence incident, blah, 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 comes back. He's a little sloppy with closing some games out. Now he's basically out for, what, 2-3 months at least, maybe the rest of the season. Like, this is a team that's been snake bit. But I feel like, different from the Mariners, a lot of this Mets stuff is sort of self-inflicted.
Right, because maybe he's got to work on, I'm not going to, it was going to be a domestic violence joke. He's got to work on his backhand a little bit.
You know what, John? It's totally inappropriate, and I completely approve.
So, yeah, you know, you never know. So that's a big blow to them.
Yeah.
The Mets are done. They're done
yeah.
for the year. That I pretty much, I think when you lose, you know, looking forward
but
to him coming back and then you
here's
lose
the
him.
Here's the thing, John. It's still a mess. The wild card race is still a mess. Look, they're not going to win the division.
Well, there's nobody in that division that's above 500 other than
exactly.
the Nationals. So,
you still have a chance. They get Cespedes back. they get if they could get one of their pitchers back.
And Matz is getting close.
Matz, if they could get Matz or even, hell, even Lugo, man. Because Wheeler's doing okay. DeGrom's doing okay. Piece it together. Conforto, they finally moved him down from the leadoff spot. They're like, hey, what if he hit all these home runs with somebody on base? Oh, it would be a two-run home run. Good job, Terry Collins. You're a professional. I'm not a Terry Collins fan.
I think he picked up the phone and called Dusty Baker. He goes, Dusty.
I've got my best hitter. What do I do with him? Bat him leadoff.
Bat him sixth.
Bat him sixth, exactly. Have you thought about batting him ninth and batting the pitcher eighth?
That could work. Madden's done that successfully, though.
Well, that's the different situation. You put your best hitter down at ninth.
No.
That's crazy. Put a guy who's going to get on base, but maybe you don't want to give him exposed to too many at bats. You put him down to the nine spot. Boom, boom, boom. I'm all for that. I love that. Also, I want to get rid of the pitcher batting and just get a DH in there. It solves all those problems. What
boo,
else we got?
Boo.
Okay, old timer. What's next?
So I don't know if this should be in extra innings or I don't know which angle this is, but Alex Rodriguez joining Shark Tank. Is he going to be pitching something?
No, it would be great if he was going to be pitching some
steroids.
New healthcare products. Right. Workout. He's got a new workout system.
Or new
go
steroid,
down to the store, buy
new
steroids.
Steroid delivery system that's undetectable.
It's a new app.
It boosts your statistics naturally. So what's his role going to be? He's going to be pumping money into this now?
No, he's going to be one of the guys who are like, yeah, no, I think that's a good business idea.
So, but he will be investing, potentially.
I mean, look, I don't know if he's going to be actually investing. Do these people really invest in these things?
That does not look like a fit at all for
me. Look, it's Mark Cuban's show. Everyone else on it is just noise, right? They got, who else? They have someone else on there. Some doofus
lady. I've seen a couple of them, and it's most of the two or three that I've seen, the ideas were horrible.
Oh, you know who it is? It's that Real Housewives lady that looks a little bit like Skeletor. What's her name?
The blonde?
No, the dark haired one from.
Oh, I haven't seen. No, I.
She has the vodka, the skinny girl vodka or whatever.
Bethany Frankel.
Bethany Frankel. Yes.
Okay. I pulled that one out of my ass.
Well done.
I've heard that name a couple of times before.
Yeah, she's awful.
Yeah.
Look, I know you're not supposed to slander someone, whatever, but that's an awful human being.
And she has money to be on a show where
she has crazy money. Her skinny girl stuff is crazy.
Oh,
plus,
so she
had her own show,
books,
right?
And she was on the TV show. Okay, gotcha.
She had her own show. It was like a daytime thing. It was, I mean, obviously it was garbage. Like, just imagine, like, oh, what if a Real Housewife had her own show? Yes, it's that terrible.
Boy. Well, we wish A-Rod luck in his new ventures.
Luck. Also, he didn't show up for Jeter's thing. He claims he was with his mother at the time, which might be code for doing steroids. I'm not sure.
But it was Mother's Day.
Yes.
It's like, Mom, I'm sorry, but I have to go.
It's a little weird, though. But those two have that weird thing. So.
Maybe he was hanging out with, what's his name, from the Celtics down in Miami that wasn't invited to the... the reunion.
Oh, right, with Ray Allen. That's kind of funny, right? Like maybe A-Rod wasn't invited, and so him and Ray Allen are just crying and holding each other and crying in a bathtub somewhere. Not naked, of course. Not like it's a gay thing. Nothing wrong with that either way.
Doesn't have to be. Although A-Rod has been
comforting each other.
But A-Rod has been photographed kissing himself in the mirror.
Okay, is there a better photograph than that? There isn't, right?
It's like, one of the best.
In the history of the planet, I don't know that there's a better photograph than that. Yeah. Look it up. Listener, pause the show, search Alex Rodriguez kissing himself in the mirror, gloriousness, amazing
photo. And if you're of the female persuasion and you like people kissing themselves in the mirror, be even more excited by the fact that he is shirtless kissing himself in the mirror.
Yes. Oh, you know what, John? I want to do a little correction here. Isn't there a photo or a painting of A-Rod as a centaur?
I think there is, yes.
Okay.
I think he had that commission.
That's obviously the greatest piece of art that this planet's ever seen.
Yeah.
But photograph-wise, the kissing the mirror thing is great. What else we got?
What else we got? We got something new.
Yes.
Is this going to be a we actually have two new things.
Yes. I'm mixing it up, John. Crazy. Things are going so well, I'm mixing it up.
So people, you know, if you're used to the same old, you're thinking starting nine's next.
Yeah, buckle up.
No. We have something new. Farm report.
Is this a nuclear?
I don't know if it's good or bad. Is it good? Okay. It's farm report.
Farm report's good. How about this? Ooh. Right?
There you go.
What's that great thing in Arrested Development where no one in the family knows how to make sound like a chicken?
Oh, I don't know. Is that from the new one or the old one?
No, the old one. The old one. So like it starts off with Job and he's like, ka-ka-ka. Anyway, but the whole family has trouble making the sound of an actual chicken. Anyway, whatever. Okay, you know what? It's funny. It's hilarious when you're watching it.
So we don't have any players from Lithuania or the first African player for the farm report, right? We have
right, but that would be something that in the
could
past
be in the
would have been. Maybe fallen under this category. So this time we're going to go with Ian Happ of the Cubs of the Cubs farm system and Bradley Zimmer of the Indians farm system. And we're talking a little about those guys, and they're getting called up, and what their role is going to be, and how good they are. And first of all, let's do Bradley Zimmer, because his last name starts with Z. And why not?
Okay. And it ends with R, so there you have it.
Okay, well, yes, well played. All right, so he's on the Indians. They need outfield help, right? We talked about this earlier. They have this great... I don't want to say they have like great depth in their farm system, but they have really good outfield depth in their farm system, right? So they've been playing Lonnie Chisenhall.
After the failed Taylor Naquin experiment.
Tyler Naquin,
Tyler, sorry.
So that Tyler was great last year, and then it
fizzled out this year.
Exactly. You know, like a shooting star, it burned out too quickly.
Pretty quickly, and he's back down in the minors.
Yeah, and so then they would... Chisenhall, they brought him up, and he is a third baseman and not a
third,
center fielder.
He went from third base to right field to center. So that's not a progression you see in baseball very often.
More common would be the opposite.
Right.
Where you start as a center fielder, and they go, ooh, that person's not very good there. Well, we'll put him in the outfield. Ooh. What about third base? And then they say, what about DH? And which
what
is
about,
probably where Chisenhall actually belongs.
And then Triple A.
Well, then, yeah, but assuming they can hit, right? Because this is all assuming they can hit. So Bradley Zimmer, they call up, and he gets a home run in his second game and a double. And he's got a little bit of a strikeout problem, but he's just been killing it in the minor leagues. And this could be a thing that the Indians need because they've been falling behind, right? Like they just doesn't seem to have that click. I mean, Encarnacion isn't hitting.
There's not consistency yet, no.
And the pitching is sort of there. Kluber's injured, but it's I'm already seeing that this is going to be the last farm report. So let's hurry up and get through it. Because I'm like, so what?
Well, I think the thing, though, with this is that we're going to see a lot more of these younger players getting a cup of coffee because of this 10-day DL.
Yeah, we're also, like, the league is getting younger, and you have this 10-day DL. And so it's like, and I don't mean like it's getting younger like I'm getting older. You know, I very much feel like Matthew McConaughey. Thing about these high school girls is I keep getting older. They stay the same age. But if they're actually getting younger, which then they're sort of like middle school girls. And like, that's just weird. Okay. This became a very weird metaphor or analogy. And I would like to just go back to saying that the league is getting younger.
But let's go back. Just remember when Valenzuela came up and Andrew Jones came up. They were 19 and Griffey. They were anomalies. Now we're seeing guys
in their
20, 21 years old is not too far-fetched.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot more
of it. Some of the guys you see in the league now, it's like, ooh, I think that guy is a failed prospect. He's like 24 years old.
Right. Well, that was common that, 24 was usually when you started to see someone coming in for the first time.
Because I think the peak is like 27, 28.
Right.
And so what teams are trying to do is get them in younger so that they get their 6 years. They own the player for 6 years. So
they're
going to
get their
the
best.
Peak.
They're going to get their best from them before they have to sign a
big
contract. And when they do sign a big contract, they trade them and they get prospects and start the process all over again.
Exactly. So it's a cost-cutting thing, but also the talent is there. As a matter of fact, John, sidebar here, there's so much talent. There's rumblings about adding two more teams.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Going to 32, evening out the schedule. two more teams. They think the
Vegas.
They officially think now, the stat guys think that there is enough talent in the league to support 32 teams.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great. So you're talking like maybe a Charlotte team or Carolina team or whatever, or a Portland team. I don't know if the Portland and Seattle works together.
Yeah.
Vegas, obviously, we've talked about that as a possibility. Yeah. So someone wouldn't have
San
to move
Antonio
there.
San Antonio is another one.
San Antonio is another possibility. But can they really handle three baseball teams in Texas?
I know.
That's
San,
a football
team. San Antonio was one of the cards the Marlins used to get their stadium. And San Antonio rolled out the red carpet to try to persuade.
Oh, did they?
Persuade the Marlins to, yeah. So that was one of the, it was Vegas, Portland, and San Antonio that were part of the conversation when the Marlins were thinking about moving before they got the new stadium. So those are those names are definitely always in the conversation. But I, you know, if the talent pool is there,
yeah,
it's just going to cause more havoc as long as there's a 10-day DL for fantasy players. Because we're like, oh no.
Yeah, and the word on the injuries is 50% more use of the disabled lists so far.
Yeah, it's changed the game, really.
Yeah.
It is. I get the MLB trade rumor report daily, and it's filled with DL updates.
Yeah.
Every day, something new is going on.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're going to see these young guys, and so if you like baseball, and I like baseball, and I like seeing the young guys, you know, I've written about that on in the various places that I've written about baseball. I do enjoy like finding a young talent and then following them along and seeing them succeed, or sometimes they fall on their face, you know. But I think this is the last farm report.
What about Ian Happ? Can we
Ian Happ,
a little bit about him?
Very good second baseman and outfielder. Great hitter. Great hitter. Like, you know, the Cubs need another great hitter, but they also need like a little spark right now. And he came up, I think he hit a home run in his first game. He's hitting 420 or something. He's an exciting young player. And again, it's for the Cubs, it's just a question of where do you play him. And I really think that Schwarber needs to get traded. I know they love him, and they were like, oh, we just can't. But because apparently he's like clubhouse plus, you know, on the scouting system of 20 to 80. He's an 80 in the clubhouse. But if you can't play him in left field, and you have Anthony Rizzo at first base, then what are you going to do? He can't catch because he was never very good at that. You got to trade him.
You know what my favorite Schwarber moment was of all time? Is after he got that base hit in his first time at bat in the World Series. And he turns to the dugout and the camera's on him. He goes, suck my dick. And you can see him, see him say it to the guys in the dugout. And it was like, did he just say that? And I went to Twitter right away and everybody was talking about it. That was hysterical.
So great. See?
And the announcers clubhouse were just like, Yeah, yeah. He's got the mojo going right now. And the city loves him. He's one of those players that obviously they love Rizzo.
But I think they like. There's something about Schwarber, maybe because he looks like a Chicago guy, right?
Right, he does. Yeah, he looks like one of the Blues Brothers.
Right, like he's kind of a schlub, right? A little bit. Like obviously,
great
high performing, great playing.
He's the fire hydrant type.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to starting nine.
Great. Oh yes.
So you've got in honor of Derek Jeter. In honor of Derek Jeter, nine players with supermodel names.
Yes, the most classic. fitting tribute. I was gonna do nine players that are named after statues to a tribute to Derek Jeter's defense, but David Robertson for the statue, you know, Michelangelo's David. But
right,
I feel like a tribute to one of the greatest players in the league and a real
and in the bedroom
I feel like this is a very appropriate. So we're gonna do supermodels, players supermodel names. Here we go. You ready?
Let's do it.
Some of these are pretty slam dunk, right? Cindy Crawford, Brandon Crawford,
bingo,
right? Kate Moss, Brandon Moss,
two for two,
right? Estella Warren, Adam Warren.
That's good.
Look, none of these are really that great, John. I'm going to tell you right now, but this was by far the best research project I've ever had in my life.
And I bet you, I guarantee you, in your Google search, you, after you put in their name, you're like, okay, I got some. And then you put the next tag, nude.
No, you know what? No nudes.
No nudes?
You don't need to with these ladies. They're so beautiful.
And they also are pretty scantily clad anyway. So
generally speaking, you
leave
can do
a
the
little
math,
to the imagination.
Right? You can do the math. Oh, that's where a nipple would be. Okay, great. All right, sorry. We might have to list this one as NC-17. I use the word nipple. All right, let's move on here. Austin Romine, Rebecca Romine.
Now we're getting somewhere. There
right?
We go.
Adrian Gonzalez, Adriana Lima.
Very good. See, that's right? Good.
Tyra Banks, Zach Wheeler, Tyre Wheel.
I didn't get it first. Okay. When you have to explain it, it's the funniest.
Okay.
And you even emphasize Tyra.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I write it down as a note to emphasize the part of the word that I'm right. Just so I get it out there so people get. Anyway, here we go. Next. Oh, here's a simple one. I'm not really sure how to pronounce this lady's last name. Raffaele?
Bar Raffaele, I think it is.
Raffaele? Well, yeah. Anyway, Rafael Devers, the top good. Prospect in the Red Sox system. Left-handed third baseman who couldn't possibly be any worse than the garbage that's currently occupying the black hole of the Red Sox third base. Claudia
isn't
Schiffer.
The fat guy coming back soon?
No, the fat guy's coming back, but he's going to continue to be the fat guy.
Okay.
Claudia Schiffer, Alex Claudio.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Heidi Klum, or shall I say Heidi Klum, because it's D.D. Gregorius, or shall I say D.D. Gregorgeous?
That was good. I love the way you paused. That pause was awesome. Dramatic pause was worth it.
And last but not least, maybe the greatest supermodel of all time, Giselle Bundchen, Wei Yin Chen.
Oh, boy. That was the best one. And there's your starting nine?
Yeah. There were awesome. Admittedly, there were 10.
And it should be, right?
There were going to be 38.
Models are 10, so you have had 10.
Oh, look at that. There's symmetry there.
There is. There was going to be 38, but then you said, no, let's do 28. And then you said, no, let's do 36.
See, more sexual jokes there. I get it. I was going to do 69.
Are you sure you didn't look up nude? Okay. Yes. So now that we've done the starting nine, people are going, well, now they're going to move into that new segment. Are you buying it? Oh, no, sir.
Yeah.
Nay, nay, nay. We have another new. Well, it's not new. I think we've done this once before.
Or we did something like this before, and I gave it a new name.
Okay. So now it's In Case You Missed It, or ICYMI.
Right. Which is what old people use on Twitter when they want to post something again. Young people don't do it, but old people think it's very clever to do ICYMI, because it's like, oh, I'm using hipster abbreviations.
Right.
And no, it's not. Kids don't do it. But fine, if you want to do it. But basically, it's like someone posts something on Twitter, and then they say, look, I'm going to post this again. So instead of just posting it again, like a, who cares if you posted it before, right? It's not like you're saying, I'm posting this now, and this is the first time it's ever been posted. Who cares? It's freaking Twitter. But people put, ICYMI, and then they post something they've already posted. So what we're going to do is, in this section, I want to talk about something that we may have missed in our news, in our headlines. And we didn't get a chance to discuss.
And this is big news?
It doesn't
have
to be.
It's
not big news. It wouldn't be big news.
It's
little news, but it's just something that I thought was interesting.
Slipped through the cracks, and we might as well bring it up. And how long ago did this happen?
I don't know. This one started earlier this year. So Jose Canseco has been doing commentary for The Athletics, right? Now, they've done this to sort of bring him in to like get a little, maybe help with the ratings or whatever, right? And I couldn't be more delighted because here's the thing. I'm reading this article about Jose Canseco, and of course, he sounds half like an insane person and half like kind of like a cool dude, right? And he's talking about how he burned through all his money and how people blacklisted him because he was on steroids. And I was like, okay, Canseco, I remember you. You weren't very good. That's why people stopped signing you. Here's the thing, John. He was actually really good in his last year.
He wasn't bad. He was more.
Here's the thing. He had a .400 on base percentage, There's like five guys in the league with that kind of on-base percentage. The problem that they had with him was that he kept getting injured, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't think in his last 6 years he played really more than a half a season.
I remember when, this is 88, 89, 90, one of those years, he was the first player in like 30 years to go hit join the 40-40 club. 40 homers, yes. 40 stolen bases.
Yes.
So that was, I mean, the guy was fast.
Yeah, great athlete, right? And obviously rocked up a little bit too much. But the guy was still hitting, getting on base, and getting wins for his teams. Mm-hmm. But like, and this, the reason I thought that was interesting, because I first thought I was like, yeah, what a joke. And I thought, I wonder if this is what they did to Barry Bonds. You know, Barry Bonds last season with the Giants, he had a 480 on base percentage.
Because he was walked so much. It
yeah,
was
but
crazy.
Still, like.
Look at his intentional
what,
walks for that
what
season.
What team could, he had 28 home runs too.
Right.
What, and the granted this is, but this is still towards, it's not really in the steroid era. It's sort of like at the waning end of the steroid area, whatever, area 51, 69, 420, I don't know. My point is, shouldn't Bonds have been picked up by someone?
Yeah.
480 on base percentage with 28 home runs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was expecting, I really thought the Marlins were going to give a go for him. And fans were saying, like, leave it to Loria. He'll, and there was some buzz about the Marlins being interested in Bonds. I'm like, go for it, man. He's only going to help. He might be a cancer in the clubhouse, but he's going to help.
Yeah, but like, how are you a cancer in the clubhouse if you're on base half the time?
And you win. Yeah, you help.
And you're winning
win.
Games because you're on base half the time. He had a 3-win season in his last season. Do you know how much that's worth, like, on the street mm-hmm. right now? It's $24 million.
He could still play.
I'm just saying, even if he just DH'd.
Yeah.
You know, like, look, maybe, because I don't think he went away like Big Poppy did. I think Big Poppy left because he was like, well, I'm tired of my legs hurting so much.
Oh, he went away because he wanted to play.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted him.
Yeah. Anyway, so. I just thought it was very interesting because my sort of recollection of those two was a little different than what it was, especially Canseco. I remember Bonds was always very good, but.
Yeah, Canseco was 480? Definitely a clubhouse cancer. That was one
like,
of the
there's no one in the league right now, John, with a 480 on base. Like, that's like.
Yeah.
Incredible, and that was in his last season. And look, I understand the clubhouse cancer thing, right? But people keep hiring Danny Valencia, and everyone hates him. You know, eventually you get to that point where what's his name for, that was on the A's that they eventually cut loose, the Billy Butler, mm-hmm. right? Look, if you're a red ass and you're hitting, people put up with it. If you're a red ass and you can't hit anything, even lefties, who you were specifically designed by the Lord to hit
right,
as
done.
A fat right-hander, then no one wants you around. That's a clubhouse cancer. You know Chase Utley is a red ass, and they only care if he's hitting or not hitting. That's all that matters. If you're Schwarber, sure, you don't have to hit. What's he hitting right now, like 180, and everyone still loves him? Of course, he's getting on base a little bit better than 180. But if you love him, you can deal with the bad hitting. If you hate him and he's a great hitter, who cares? And that's been In Case You Missed It.
In Case You Missed It.
I don't know. I kind of like that one.
That was good.
I don't know if we'll use that every week, but if something pops up like that, I think we'll... Farm Report's dead, though.
Okay.
The thing is, I'm obsessed with minor leagues, and I just... That's just not an entertaining
segment. That's a different
segment.
Podcast.
Yeah, that's just not an entertaining segment. There's nothing funny to me about the minor leagues. I mean, other than, like, Bull Durham. So, anyway. Moving on. What do we got?
Are you buying it?
Ho-ho! Nice! The Devin Travis section.
Yeah, he's not on there this week.
I will say, this week, killing the ball.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
no home runs, but like a 320 ISO. That's awesome. Batting 400.
So maybe in a month we'll be talking about, are you buying that he's hitting 450 and his on-base percentage is over 400?
We should just bring up Devin Travis every week.
We'll have, he's going to be our Matt Damon.
Great. Devin Travis, you are our Matt Damon.
That's 3 weeks in a row we've talked about Devin Travis. There's probably not a single podcast on the planet that has mentioned his name, even a Blue Jays podcast.
The thing is, he has so much good talent in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's exciting. And he's young, of course, which I like, you know? All right, that sounds weird. But, you know, as a player.
Right.
Anyway, I don't know. Because
you were mentioning teenagers, you were middle schoolers before. What's going on here?
Thing about Devin Travis is I keep getting older, and he's all right. I don't know.
Okay, let's talk about last week we did the first place teams,
right? Whether
we
were
divisions,
buying
them. And now we're doing the last place teams.
That's right.
So we probably should skip quit through these pretty quickly because
whatever. Take as long as you want, John. There's no time limit on the internet.
But people, when they see, oh gosh, this show's an hour and a
half.
Oh,
you mean the one that was over an hour last time? That was our highest listened show ever.
Recording it was like an hour and 20 minutes, and with all the issues, I trim it up a little bit here.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the Blue Jays, Royals, Pirates, Athletics, Marlins, and Padres. Now on to extra innings. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so Blue Jays are terrible. Royals are terrible. Pirates are terrible. Athletics are terrible. Marlins are terrible. Padres are terrible. Next.
But really, you're buying it. There's not a single team on here that you could say, yeah, I'm confused. I'm confused with where they are right now. Blue Jays, maybe. Maybe. And they have definitely bounced back from their 1-8 start. They're playing 500 ball now, so whoop-de-doo. But they're doing better. Even Bautista started and hit again. And Devin Travis is starting.
And Devin Travis, as you may have heard from earlier on this show.
Right. But the Royals are going to be
sellers. You know what angle we can take on these is – I thought the Royals were going to be the second worst team in that division with the White Sox.
Right.
And remember we talked about this, though. See, I feel like we're smart. Okay. We talked about this. They're the second worst, but if they start trading stuff off, they're the worst.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they will be.
And they're playing like the worst right now. They have one of the worst run differentials. They've given up, I think they're 30th or 29th in terms of runs given up and runs scored. They have the lowest or the highest differential in the negative way, the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Math isn't my strong suit, except technically it is. All right.
But every single team on, except for the Blue Jays, because the Blue Jays have a good core, and I think they're going to be a much better team next year. But there's not a single team on here that is going to be, I take that back. The Padres will probably stand pat for some reason.
Well, it's,
but everybody else will be sellers.
Well, the Padres will probably sell like Cahill and a closer or a reliever, right?
They're not going to retool, but the Pirates should.
But they're not going to dump any of their good players, the Padres. They don't have anyone to dump.
Well, other than Myers, but the Pirates.
No, they can't dump him.
No, Gerrit Cole and McCutchen will be gone at the All-Star break.
Oh, no, I think they'll keep Cole. I think they'll keep Cole, but I think the problem with McCutchen is, I mean, he, talk about unlucky. He's hitting the ball hard. His batting average on ball and play is so low. It's like 200, and he's normally like 280, 290.
But they'll never have better value for him than for a team that's in the hunt.
Yeah, no, but the question is like, who needs a right fielder, right? Who's going to need a right-handing and right fielder? So you're talking about maybe the Dodgers.
Still got 2 months before
but they seem
somebody
to solve their problem with Bellinger.
Yeah, all it takes is one injury.
We'll see. But I'm going to – look – the Pirates are going to be okay, just not this year. This year is just like write it off, you know.
Well, they're
going to trade Tony Watson. You know they're going to trade Tony Watson. Right.
But they've talked about Gerrit Cole has been something that's been in the rumor mill about the flip him if they're not in contention. So
how many more years do they have on him though? That seems like I think they should be ready to play next year.
Way that they're looking at this is that they had a window that opened 4 years ago and they didn't walk through. They didn't achieve. So they can be happy with being a 86 wins team for the next, you know, that's on the high end side, for the next 2 or 3 years, or let's start retooling now.
Yeah. Because they have, they can't bring up Austin Meadows because he's not hitting well. Josh Bell has been hitting very nicely at first base.
Mm-hmm.
He's a top 15 first baseman. That's pretty good for a rookie. Though he is one of those rookies from last year that missed losing his eligibility by one game. A little bit cheating the system. Right. But anyway, I mean, they have a lot of good pieces. And they have great pitching coming. And they have a really good shortstop coming. I don't know. I don't know if they would. I think, you know, you could dump McCutchen because they have those pieces. But Cole just seems like, ooh. And they got, who did they get from? We're already talking more about the Pirates than anyone cares about. But they need who they got for Melanson last year, that lefty that's got like a 0.5 ERA. Anyway, look him up, listener. Lefty reliever for the
Pirates.
Let
us know.
Yeah. Send us an email.
Yeah,
all right.
So the A's always trade at the deadline. That's part of their DNA, so we can expect some transactions there.
But I feel like that's a team that could hang around and be a wild card contender, the A's, with a few breaks.
As usual, Bean has found pitchers that are no one saw coming.
Yeah.
And they're holding their own right now.
Yeah.
Marlins are a complete disaster. Their pitching staff is horrible.
Yes.
They have good everyday players that are underperforming right now, but their pitching staff is an absolute mess, and they put all their money in their relief staff to bridge the gap with the loss of Fernandez, and that was a disaster. Although I think their bullpen has like the third best ERA, but you would never know it by the games that they have lost. I think they've lost three or four games where they had a 4 or 5 run lead in the game late.
Oh.
Which is
the worst. And they're like 8, 9 games under, and Mattingly's their manager. He's awful, man. I'm going to tell you. Like, I know some people think he's okay. I'm going to tell you right now, just strategy-wise, the guy just doesn't know what he's doing. And all he's good at doing is managing egos. And then once you've done that, who cares? You need to manage a baseball team.
Right.
IMO. That's code for, in my opinion.
It's ICYMI.
Yes. In case you missed it, that IMO is in my opinion. And then the Padres, I think the Padres are a bad baseball team.
Well, AJ Preller was supposed to work miracles. His spending spree was a disaster. Then he got slapped on the hand by the league, and he's been in timeout and kind of has to be a good boy. So now we're, what's going to happen next?
They have a very interesting farm team. And I will say, in AJ Preller's defense, that's sort of his, what do they say, his raison d'etre.
Mm-hmm.
That's like developing the farm teams is what he's known for.
That's his milieu.
That's his, exactly. And the great thing for him is, look, it's going to take 5 or 6 years, so he's basically guaranteed himself a general manager job for 5 or 6 years. It's kind of brilliant. Like, hey, we're going to build the farm system. It's going to take 5 or 6 years, so they can't fire him before then unless he does, stuff like keep separate books for the medical records of a player or lie about whether or not a player's been taking a drug for an injury. Oh, wait a minute. He did both of those things.
Yeah, Padres. So this list, I would say that you're buying it for their performance. Okay, based on what you said, I would say that probably the A's,
I think the A's could contend this year. I think the Royals, Pirates, Padres, and Marlins are out. So I'm buying those. I'm buying these bad performances. We're shorting these, is what they say, right? And the Blue Jays, I still think there's enough with, Donaldson's coming back next week. I think that there's enough there to keep them in the wild card conversation. So I'm not buying their poor performance, or I am buying, or I'm not.
Renting, leasing.
I mean, I still don't think they're going to win the division. I think that's going to be the Red Sox or the Yankees. But, the Orioles are still pretty darn good, and the Rays are pretty darn good. There's a lot of teams to leapfrog to get to even the wild card. So, but I think what we're talking about in the American League is the wild card teams are going to come from the East.
Yes, most likely.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. That wraps up Are You Buying It?
Yeah.
And that means, last but not least, extra innings, taking a look at what's going on outside the baseball world. And this is one of our fan favorites.
Yes, is it? Is it our fan?
Our fan favorite.
Favorite? Uh-huh. Or is it a fan favorite of a favorite of one fan, maybe? I don't know. I always like doing it.
And I did not get a chance because I was actually out last night at a meeting and then got home really late. We're supposed to do the podcast last night. And I was...
Oh, wait a minute. Should we have covered that in the headlines?
What?
Your meeting?
No. It was a big meeting.
Tell us all about it, John. We all want to know.
No, but I saw that the lottery happened, and I did not see the outcome, and I haven't.
Okay,
had
so
a
there was
to,
some reason for you to tell us all that stuff.
Yes, there was. Okay. There was a lead into our first bulleted sense. Item for extra innings is the NBA lottery.
Yes. Okay.
And all I heard was that, and I don't know if the Lakers got the first pick or the second pick, but
second
it's
pick.
Like or it was ordained that Orlando Ball would be a Laker by the league gods in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it does. It sure seems like everything is lining up that way. It reeks a little bit of Patrick Ewing to the Knicks way back in the day, right?
Yes.
Who, oddly enough, I was a big fan of. I'm not sure why, even though I wasn't a Knicks fan or particularly a Georgetown fan. But anyway, yeah, so the Celtics got the first pick, which is great for a playoff team.
Right. What?
But they got the first pick because they got the Nets' first pick. Because the Nets, for some reason, decided to trade for Kevin Garnett and, what was it, like the whole, the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and something else. And it included this first-round pick in 2017, and that so they won, what, 30 games that year? So they won an extra 10 games with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Great job, Nets. But they were opening up the new stadium, and they wanted to have some star power, and instead they got Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And so the Celtics got the first pick. Lakers got the second pick. This is very similar to the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson kind of stuff. But
it is. So who's the number one? If Ball's going to go number two, who would be the number one pick?
I don't remember the guys. He's got a non like superstar.
Oh
name.
No! I know who it is. It's
Mertz.
It's
or something.
The guy with the Washington Huskies out here.
Maybe.
The two Ball and this guy. I don't remember his name. He's a guard, and he's the number one ranked guard. Coming in, and Ball's number two.
Yeah.
So the two of them have been going back and forth, kind of razzing each other about who's better. So this is going to make into, it potentially could turn into another Bird Magic scenario. That would be interesting.
The
Lakers, it would be good for the sport.
The Lakers have this pick, and then they have last year's second pick, and then they have the previous year's top pick, D'Angelo Russell. I don't remember who they got last year. Ingram? Yeah, Ingram. D'Angelo Russell, and they got the previous year's Julius Randle. Like this is a very impressive core, but they might wind up trading some of this for like a Paul Pierce or a Jimmy Butler. We'll see what winds up happening there. But
and it looks like Boston's going to need that first pick because they're getting trounced by the Cavaliers by 20 tonight at home.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the big question for them, right? Is how do they contend? Do they contend by building, adding a first round pick who takes a couple years to develop? Or do they go out and get a Paul Pierce and a Jimmy Butler and because they're to win now?
Right.
I will say one thing about basketball. As much as I do know about it, I used to write about the Lakers for Yahoo. As much as I do know about it, I don't know anything about development.
Mm-hmm.
All my development knowledge is, even like the college to pro progression and all that stuff, like I just don't know it.
Well, there's
I know
only two rounds in the draft.
Yeah.
So only 60 players are coming into the league.
Yeah.
And then you have some free agencies, and you have the
and then you have the sign and follows where they sign someone, but then they go to Europe and play or
D League development league stuff.
Yeah, development
and
league,
all that.
Which is anyway. So I'm like just in terms of how players evolve and like what the how long it takes someone to achieve their
picking poorly can destroy a team.
Yeah,
Greg Oden, for example.
Oh my gosh, the big Greg Oden.
And Sam Bowie, both to Portland.
Sam Bowie, yeah. Who was the other one? It was the guy who's on the Warriors now. Why can't I remember his name? Kevin Garnett, right?
Kevin Garnett? Not Garnett.
No, Kevin. It's another Kevin.
Love for the Cavaliers?
No, for the guy on the Warriors now. Why don't I know this guy's
name?
Oh,
Durant.
Kevin Durant. How are there so many Kevins in basketball? There's no Kevins in baseball. All the Kevins are in basketball. There's too many Kevins. Anyway, big question. Durant or Oden?
Right.
Portland took Oden. Seattle, who had a team, took Durant. But that was the question. Which one do you take? Which one do you take? Durant was the right choice.
Yes. Obviously.
Oden was not. I think the dead giveaway on Oden was that he looked like he was 78 years old.
He was, 19 when he was drafted?
And he was 19.
He looked like he could be my dad.
My dad got down the floor more smoothly than my 71 year old dad gets down the street more smooth than Greg Oden got down the court, and they picked this guy number one.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough in basketball. It really is. It's so few positions, 15 positions on a team, and if the guy you pick doesn't. Especially the number one pick, more than anything. Yeah, that's tough. But it's going to be interesting to see. The LeVar Ball is an idiot. He's a moron. He's crazy. He's a Colonel Barker. He's just nuts.
It's a delight.
His latest is that he's seeking, if shoe companies want a deal and they want to license the shoe, it's going to cost them $3 billion. His son isn't even in the league yet.
What if this guy...
$500 pair of shoes, $495 for his first
what
pair?
What if this guy was Trump's next vice president?
Or the next president. it's crazy. It's going to definitely make whatever team he winds up on, they're going to have to deal with LeVar.
Yeah.
He also claimed that he could beat Jordan. And you know, sure. I think LeVar's career stats where he was average 1.2 points per game.
Hey, maybe he just didn't get the minutes, man.
That's good. That is good comedy. Okay, what else? What else we got? We spent way too long on that, but that's okay. Yeah. It was fun. So French Open rebust Maria Sharapova.
Do we want to talk about this stuff?
Yeah, real quick. We'll go straight. All right, go ahead. To protect the integrity of the game, because she's jacked up on steroids. Well, it wasn't steroids.
What they're trying to do is protect the ratings. They don't want ratings. So they're going to just as few stars as possible.
Plus,
it's the French. Look. You can complain about steroids, French people, when you start showering on a daily basis. Right. With your clay courts. I know what that clay is made of. It is the filth that falls off of a Frenchman's body. It used to be grass, John.
There goes our French following.
Oui.
To you,
what else,
sir.
Is there?
Let's see. Pac-Man Jones pleads guilty. It apologizes for behavior. What is he pleading guilty for this time? Because he's always in trouble.
I think he got into a fight. I actually don't know what the story is, but I think it's a safe bet to say he got into a fight.
He apologized for it, and we'll wait and we'll talk about this again next season.
Look, the guy's name is Pac-Man. He's got ghosts he's dealing with. Am I right?
Yes.
Right, folks?
He's got ghosts. Yes.
Right?
Good comedy.
All right. Next.
There you go. Okay. Last but not least, we got a Dancing with the Stars reference here.
Yeah.
And we got Grandpa Rossi apparently outlasted Simone Biles. How did that happen?
Well,
I don't watch
all,
it. Don't know.
Simone Biles got 2 tens on her performance. But here's the thing. It's a voting thing, right?
Right.
This is what actually happened. Look, there's some conspiracy theories out there.
Did you watch this?
First of all, Barack Obama had Paul Walker killed with a drone strike. Check it out. That's a conspiracy theory that exists.
You're kidding, right?
That is a real conspiracy theory with real people committing real time to investigating it. Second of all, Avril Lavigne was replaced by a body double named Melissa and is now making music that the real Avril Lavigne never would have done because she committed suicide and was replaced by her body double. That's a real thing. I shouldn't say it's a real thing. It's a real conspiracy theory. Here's my conspiracy theory. David Ross took all the Cubs' mojo.
He did.
The Cubs are 3 games under 500.
They
David Ross is winning Dancing with the Stars.
And where are they in the process of elimination? How many left?
I don't know. It's getting near the end.
That's awesome.
But if this guy wins, Cubs fans have got to be happy and will gladly give away this season for that, right?
Right. It would be, it's a 1-2 punch, right?
I would tell you right now, Cubs fans have already become insufferable. As a Red Sox fan who had whatever, 8 billion years without a championship and then got a championship and then the next year became insufferable, Cubs, welcome to the club. Cubs fans are already like, what's wrong with this team? Right. I can't believe it. We're the... Like, you guys won for the first time in 100 billion years.
Be happy.
Please just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll tell you one story about Cubs fans. Okay, so everyone thinks, you know, whatever, Dodgers and Giants, they fight each other, the fans and whatever. That one guy got the crap beat out of him. Awful stuff. Cubs fans, one guy... After a game, car drives by. He's got a little mini bat. He hits the car with the mini bat. He's like, hey, too close. The guy gets out of the car, shoots the guy with the mini bat. Both Cubs fans. That tells you what you need to know about Cubs fans. Also what they did to Steve Bartman, who, by the way, did not bobble that grounder hit to short immediately afterwards. And who then didn't destroy the pitching arms of two of the greatest young pitchers of that time.
That was Dusty Baker.
Exactly. So... To be fair, Cubs fans are a little bit rudd ass, and this is hilarious to watch David Ross winning, because also he's a great guy, right? But then to see the Cubs losing, like obviously they're going to wind up winning, but it's amazing to see them like all of a sudden like, see, we're why are we suffering? Like, no. You know who's suffering now? The Indians, okay? Right. 50 years for them. 60 years. 50? 60. 48,
I think it was.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Speaking of long times, John.
This was a good one, though. I think we've got a rhythm. We're doing much, much better. We may get a listener or two more than we've ever had.
That's a star high goal. That's what this show's about.
We aim to please.